Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
You know, we did something a week or so ago that was really unique to us. We've never done it before. For years, I've been hearing about Giving Tuesday.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know what it was or why it existed or anything else. Well, this year, somebody gave me an explanation of it that made sense, and I thought, you know, that sounds like something Catholic Radio
should be doing.
Should be the beneficiary of. So we ran a few announcements on the air here, and we asked people to kind of step up to the plate on Giving Tuesday and make a contribution to Catholic Radio, and they did. Nearly $2,000.
Oh, my goodness.
On Giving Tuesday, just because, well, a couple of things. Because we asked, and because people really know that to keep Catholic Radio on the air does take listener support, so they were happy to do it. And it was just a surprise to me when you do something new like that. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? You know, whatever.
You know, it's interesting. We have to remember this for next year. Bill and Melinda Gates had this thing on Facebook that they would match. If you gave it through Facebook, they matched every dollar that was given through Facebook. So it wouldn't it be a great idea if we found someone with deep, deep pockets to match whatever was given on Giving Tuesday.
Well, we actually did have a match here locally as well.
We did.
And so actually, I didn't even think about that till right now, which really effectively gets very close to $4,000.
Well,
so
praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
And if you didn't participate, you probably have a letter from Catholic Radio, our kind of our year-end letter that encourages you before the year closes to make a donation to Catholic Radio. If you can respond to that letter, please do so. If you haven't gotten a letter, just give us a call at 317-870-8400 or go to our website, catholicradioindy.org.
Our guest today on Faith in Action is joining us from far, far away in Austin, Texas. Welcome, 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 Monsignor Don Sawyer.
Well, thank you. I didn't think I was that far away. But it's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, God bless you. You know, our listeners will remember you from, it's been several weeks ago, maybe even a couple months ago, when we talked about the Maronite rite, which, you know, a lot of us Roman Catholics, I don't want to call us Latin Catholics, but, you know, Roman Rite, Latin Rite Catholics, don't even know that there are other rites like Melkite and Maronite, and that's kind of new to us.
Armenian,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's pretend that many of our listeners did not hear the last one. I mean, some will have. In fact, we got some interesting comments that wow, that was wonderful, and we should have him on again. But there are some listeners that don't know about the Maronite rite. So give us a little tidbit, bring us up to speed, and then I've got lots of questions for you about Advent.
Well, great. For most Roman Rite Catholics, that they know very little of the whole Church. How's that for my take of that?
Amen.
And in fact, if they have ever pick up a copy of the Vatican II documents, they could go to the decree on the Catholic Eastern Churches and realize that. And many people are kind of shocked, and I introduce people, visitors here, welcome, that this is the Mass of the Holy Land, and it's ancient, it's older than the Roman Rite, even the Trentine, because we trace our origins from Acts of the Apostles, the Church of Antioch, when so many people fled Jerusalem when Stephen was killed. They went to Antioch, and Antioch was the center of a Jewish school, later becomes the largest Christian school in the world. And so our tradition composed very much composed by our liturgy, composed by St. James the Apostle, and very much influenced with Semitic and Jewish influences, more than even in the Roman Rite. And our liturgical language is Syriac Aramaic, that Hebrew Aramaic that Jesus, the Apostles, the Blessed Mothers actually spoke. And so we're very proud of that, and we're the Christians of Antioch. And our liturgy is full of prayers. It's it kind of uses like left brain. Roman is more taken up with legalism from the Roman Empire, what the Romans gave the world, and not philosophical, following the Greeks. And so it uses a lot of topologies and beautiful poetry to express the hiddenness of God. And how's that for a summary?
I love that. I absolutely love that, because as you were speaking, I thought I knew pretty much about it, but you're teaching me. I think a lot of my Catholics in the pew here would hold up the Tridentine or the Tridentine Mass as the oldest Mass. I think a lot of people, that's the Mass. I mean, that's pre-Vatican II, that's the one. But for you to say that the Maronite Rite, I mean, that the Mass that you celebrate predates that, is wonderful to hear.
Oh, it is. It's kind of like almost like something was stuck in the freezer and you pull it out
right later.
Yeah, and not only the Maronites, but you have Syriac Catholic, Syriac Orthodox that have the same liturgy, and what can I say? It's so rich, and it's like one of our prayers, or many are my sins, but greater is your mercy. When placed on
Amen.
The scales, your mercy prevails over the weight of the mountains known only to you.
Amen. Amen. Before we even get into, I've got so many questions about Advent, but I do want to toss this out there, because this is a question that someone asked me after they heard our show, and they actually went on the internet and did a little bit of research. But but it was, for me, going to the Maronite Mass was so completely and fully engaging. And one would say that post-Vatican II, the Mass is more engaging for most people. But going to Maronite Mass, it was beyond that. It was, I was participating the whole time. So how many times?
Time.
The whole time, all the way through. So, Monsignor, how many times do you get someone who comes to a Mass with you and they say, Father, sign me up. Where do I, do you ever get asked
often.
For someone to switch a ride, or can I often? Because I know my daughter and her boyfriend were like, Mom, this is the one you've got to go to. So tell me, how do you handle that when people say that to you?
Well, they're welcome. You know, any Roman Catholic could join any Eastern Catholic Church. And if they formally later, they want to say, I really want to become Maronite Rite. I want to change my rite. They do it. It's simple. They write a letter to the Maronite bishop, my bishop. We have two in the United States. He sends it to their local ordinary, and the ordinary has no objections, which is rare that they do. It goes to the nuncio, and it's granted, and then they formally, I do a little ceremony, ask, what do you seek? And I'm seeking to become Maronite. So in front of people, and then I bless them. And it's recorded in their baptismal book that they changed rites from Roman to Maronite.
Now, Monsignor, I'd have to include myself as one of those Roman Catholics, Roman Rite Catholics, that know very little about the other rites. But we have seven sacraments. You have the same and the same seven?
Well, I'd like to tease you and tell you all, no, we have all nine. But well, if it's Catholic, you know it has to have seven, Jim. and of course, we pride ourselves. We're the Coca-Cola Classic, okay? We're the first Christians. And even before your ancestors, where they're still roaming around in Europe, probably, the Church of Antioch was sending missionaries all the way to China, to India. They had little colonies and bishops going to India. And, of course, St. Thomas was already there in India, so they're an apostolic church there in India. And, yeah, of course, we have seven sacraments, and we have more, what she's saying is our liturgy, it's a dialogue between the people and the priest. And the tradition is that the priest doesn't get vested unless there's people, because he's there to serve the people. Without the people, you don't need a priest. And the people are there worshiping. They're not, like in their own right, after the Holy Holy, the people don't really say anything. Maybe amen.
Right, right.
And the Lord's Prayer, but this is, the people are worshiping. And that's the term liturgy. It's from the Greek word meaning public worship of the people, the work of the people. And it's, and people here, I think, I can very much get into it. And we have, the prayers are beautiful. The rich is not, how should I say, everything, you know, opening up the beginning of the liturgy with the hymn. But the hymns are just loaded. So, you know, like this week we have Announcement to Mary, and we'll get in that, I know. But the song, and everyone sings, Gabriel spoke words of peace and greeting Mary, telling the Immaculate and Holy Virgin this joyful news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, most pure, will appear from you. You are blessed in heaven and on earth, O Mary, Mother of our Lord and God. We sing your praises. Alleluia. Give thanks to the Lord. Then it goes on, the next verse, to the town of Nazareth, God sent his angel to announce the good news of the birth of Jesus, the Son of God. Mary, you will bear Emmanuel, Gabriel proclaimed. God is with you, and he dwells in you, O Mary. He will shine forth from your womb to save the whole world. Alleluia, give thanks to the Lord. See, it's poetic, it's rich.
It's so
and
beautiful.
And to be able to sing a song easily, and it's not complicated music, it's not, our music is, it's simple because it's supposed to be the liturgy of the people.
Sure.
And, you know, we won't have a huge orchestra and drums, and I find that type of music, I cannot sing with it. So
sometimes more of a distraction. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, we're chatting with Monsignor Don Sawyer, and he is a priest with the Maronite Rite in Austin, Texas. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Three things keep Catholic Radio Indy on the air. One is our fervent desire to spread the gospel message. Two is your donations to the station. We couldn't survive without them. And three is underwriting from area businesses. Every month, these businesses make donations to the station. Please support them. Visit their stores, send them an email, or call them. Let them know that you appreciate their support of Catholic Radio. It's a great way to thank our underwriters for their very important support.
Keep the focus on Jesus this Christmas season.
To remember what Jesus did for me.
To keep my mind focused on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Did you miss something in this show or just want to hear it again? Podcasts of this and all our other great local programs are available 24/7 at CatholicRadioIndy.org.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest today, Monsignor Don Sawyer, and he's on the phone with us from Austin, Texas. We're talking about the Maronite Rite, and the first half, we kind of set it up a little bit about the history and the origin and of the rite. Of course, completely Catholic. I got that question, and I remember when I interviewed you the first time, you said, please don't insult me with asking if the Mass counts. And I thought, because I heard that, I said, someone said, we can go to that Mass, right? I said, of course we can go to that Mass. Of course we can. Now I want to specifically talk a little bit about Advent, and maybe you could walk us through, because your Advent is a little bit longer than ours. And towards the end, I would like to talk a little bit more about what you concentrate on during Advent. Maybe help us get a little bit more of the Christmas spirit. So let's start with, first of all, your Advent starts a little bit differently than ours.
Well, I wanted to say that people probably ask, well, do you have Easter and Christmas same time? And we do. But our calendar is very Antioch and Syriac mindset. And we have 6 weeks of Advent. We call it announcement. And it takes, I kind of explain it, it's like having the nativity set ready with no figures there. And it takes it from the point of view of a Jewish mindset and ending a prophecy. So we begin with announcement to Zechariah in the temple. And every Sunday in Advent is very thematic, and it follows a logical sequence. It's like a new chapter. So here God comes to Zechariah in his old age and his wife's old age, and as he's offering incense in the temple, then he has a vision of Gabriel. And Gabriel announcing that he would have a son, after God promised, and it's like Abraham and Sarah, and that he goes and he becomes mute. And of course his son is John the Baptizer, the forerunner to Christ.
Sure.
And that's celebrated. So then this past Sunday, this week, we're celebrating announcement to Mary. And here the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. And then the next Sunday, we see Mary visiting Elizabeth. And then the next following Sunday is the birth of John. And then, of course, the next one who comes on the scene, this nativity set, is Joseph. And it's revelation to Joseph that his doubts are put down, and he's told in the dream, of course, that Mary is conceived by the Holy Spirit. And then we have genealogy Sunday and, of course, the birth. So it follows all of the idea that prophecies are being fulfilled. And our readings are taken up and kind of all geared to the incarnation. Incarnation of Christ and his birth.
Now,
and I think in the Roman Rite, the readings are more concerned with Christ's second coming.
Yeah, they do. They do. They're more prophesying. They're more end of times. They're a little bit. It's kind of interesting. You have honestly, just between you and me and the fence post. Of course, we've got a couple listeners listening in too.
Yeah.
But yours seem to follow more what you would expect at Christmas time. Ours, a lot of times, parishioners will ask their parish priest, why are we talking about end of times here leading up to the birth of Christ? And it kind of follows logically. I mean, your story is a little bit more logical at this time than ours is.
Exactly. For me, it makes sense. it is taken up with his birth, all the steps. Now we're on the final end of the old covenant. And John is the last prophet because the role of the prophets was tell the people to repent, and the Messiah was coming. Now John is saying, he not repent, the kingdom of God is here at hand, and you will be saved. Repent, you know, the Messiah is here. Very logical. I don't know why in the Roman Rite talk about the second coming. We talk about the second coming September the 14th as we begin the season of the Holy Cross, when the cross was found, discovered by Queen Helen.
Oh, sure.
In like 313. So, interesting.
Well, do you treat... So let's talk about Advent itself. Is Advent for you penitential or anticipatory, or how does the average Joe and Josephina in the pew treat Advent?
Yes, it is a penitential time, but unfortunately, as Maronites, like Roman Rite, we've gotten lax with fasting. You know, there's four periods of fasting in the church, which we're all lacking. But it's penitential in the sense that it's more preparatory than anything. And a lady was here last night I've known for years, and she was saying she wanted to know because I was wearing red. And I believe most of our parishes, the priest wears red, the idea of incarnation. And she's, well, but purple for kingship, purple for penitential. Well, it's penitential, but we don't... have to wear purple. We wear purple in Great Lent, or dark colors, that is. So for me, it means so much more to me. I mean, I just thoroughly enjoy it. It's like hearing the Christmas story all over again.
Sure.
And most of the readings are from Luke, and it follows Luke's account.
So if you have someone who comes to you, Father, and this is across the board, I think this is what we yearn for as a people, and we yearn for it especially at Christmas time, and when we see people during Advent, when we see people who are in such great need, and I think that we're touched a little bit more, but when someone comes to you, Father, and they say, Father, how do I get the Christmas spirit? How do I enter a little bit deeper into the season? What do you offer them? Or do you address this during homilies and talk to your
parishioners? Well, during the homilies, you know, like the announcement of Zechariah, my push in the sermon after telling the stories and explaining the scriptures is that we too each are on a spiritual journey. And these, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they didn't fully understand. They didn't have the whole picture in front of them. But they trusted God and even their old age, just like Abraham and Sarah. And you have to see your own life. It's a spiritual walk. And it just as God still acts and strong in your life, if you allow him, it just as much as he did with Abraham and Sarah, and with Zachariah and Elizabeth, and with the Blessed Mother. And you have a story, and you have to realize that God is leading you, and this is where it becomes personal. And you, whether who you know, your marriage, your children, your life, your stage in life, and what you're doing, and we're all blind, and then I quoted the story about the footprints in the sand.
Oh yes,
you know that one.
Oh sure, beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Well, because this is God walking with us now, and you have to look at your own spiritual journey. These are some of these people which led to salvation. But your valley, you're very valued and important God's, and for God's eyes, and what you're doing is very important. And God is with you as much as you allow him to be.
Amen. Amen. As much as you allow him to be, isn't that the truth? If you're just now tuning in, listeners, we're chatting with Monsignor Don Sawyer, and he is a Maronite priest from Austin, Texas, who we had the great pleasure of meeting in September when we went down to visit our daughter. And I can already tell you, I wanted to call you at the beginning of Lent and talk a little bit about, you know, help us walk through the Lenten season with you a little bit. You know, you mentioned something earlier about celebrating Advent
announcement,
6 weeks. So it got me to thinking, on my dining room table, I've dusted off. I haven't lit the candles yet because I won't start till Sunday. But how do you do an Advent wreath, or is it not customary to do an Advent wreath?
We never did it. It's not one of our customs.
Okay, there you go.
And you'll see that, you know, people will experience, well, do you have this? It's like you want to compare English to German.
There's, yes, sure.
You know, or another foreign language is not tit for tat, and there's no Advent wreath. You know, we traditionally don't have an Easter candle either, you know.
Okay.
But we have stuff that the Roman Rite doesn't have, and...
You know, it's interesting. We did talk about this a little bit earlier, but the saints that you emphasize are a little bit different. Of course, they're more of an Eastern tradition than ours. And Saint Nicholas, I want you to talk about him for a second, because we celebrate him, you know, across the board. December 6th is when I was a kid, we put our stockings out, or our shoes actually, outside our bedroom, and I would go get Daddy's big hunting boots and put them outside my bedroom door instead of my little, you know, size 5 or 6 shoes.
That's called greed.
And I guess that's across the board too. but do you have, so tell us a little bit about Saint Nicholas, because I know
Saint
that he's
Nicholas,
a little bit bigger, you know.
He's on not only all the churches' calendar, you know, Maronite, all the Byzantines, Orthodox. The Orthodox are super partial to him. He's an Eastern saint, and he lived in Myra, which is, if you look at a map of Turkey, it's on the south coast, and his relics were taken by the Crusaders to Bari, Italy, where they remain, and the great devotion there. So he was bishop, wonder worker. They said he bilocated. He was in two places at once. He's supposed to have been in prison and then also at the council, I think at Nicaea. He's patron saint, bookkeepers, children, navy. And his name Nicholas comes from the Greek word Nikolai. It's like the word Nike shoes.
Oh, sure.
Means victory. And then from Laos, from the people, the people's victory, which is Christ.
I didn't know that. Oh. So growing up, did you, as a child, did you also have the tradition of putting a shoe out on the Feast of St. Nicholas on December 5th or 6th?
No, our family didn't, but it was nice consolation for me when I was told abruptly and rudely that there was no Santa Claus.
Oh, dear.
By my older brother. But my mother explained, yes, there is a Santa Claus, not the way we have him now, but it's St. Nicholas.
Sure.
And I'm looking now, as I was given an old Russian icon of St. Nicholas. You know, it's amazing. I mean, he's from the Western countries to the Eastern countries. It's his story, and he's well, so much devotion to him.
You know, it's interesting you say that abruptly. You were told that there was no Santa Claus. Because of that, when I was raising my children, we always referred to Santa Claus as Saint Nick, because I
Wonderful.
Didn't want to have to admit to fibbing to them ever. So when they were very little, it was always St. Nicholas. It was always never Santa Claus. And that way, so when it came out, I could say, St. Nick's real. He's real. He's real and
he's
tell
real.
The story. He's
yeah,
real.
He's
always true. Was real. You know, I hate to say this, Monsignor, because sitting here chatting with you is like having a cup of coffee in front of a fire for us, very cozy down there. You're probably, you know, open up the windows and smelling the pine trees or something, the palm trees. But it's very comforting and wonderful to chat with you. But
Thank
we
you.
We have just less than a minute left.
Oh, too bad.
I know. But I'm
too bad. I'm enjoying this too.
This is just delightful for us. But I will call you after the first of the year, and we'll talk about Lent. But I wonder.
For us, big time is our Lord's baptism.
Oh, yeah.
And that's Epiphany, not the three wise men, but the baptism of Christ. So there's something else different.
So Epiphany, something else different. Okay, we need to talk about that. So many things, Monsignor, so many things. Okay, could you offer us your blessing, please?
All right, and let me remind people, they could go to the website, Google Maronite Eastern Catholic, and there's loads of information out there. May the Almighty God bless us as he called us all to baptism and he calls us to eternal life. May we walk our journey in faith, blindly as we are, but knowing that he's guiding us. May we have the faith of Abraham, Zechariah, Elizabeth, the Mother of God, Joseph, and all the saints. And may he bless us with a wonderful nativity, birth of the nativity of his Son, always mindful that God loves us and he is Emmanuel. God is with us. May we praise you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marian University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.